Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back, readers, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Lathian accidentally inflicts pain, Raoul trades for Amy to read books, Squash uses the library to help his friend, and Zoltana reinforces her position as Lord of the Doors. After crossing the desert, the heroes find the Library of Ogma and speak with the Orc librarian about what they need. Whilst at the library, they bump into two old friends, Marnock and Lisbeth, who had just completed their hand-fasting rituals. What's written on the obelisk? Is it even possible to cure Wurumwa? And how easy will it be to get Calamorn his body back? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
Okay, who wants to go first?
Roll off.
Yeah, sure. All right, everybody roll a d20. Let's go.
I honestly don't care. Whoever wants to go first, like, some of your checks are going to be easy, some of them are going to be way more difficult.
I'll go first.
Perfect. All right, Casey's going first.
All right, the rest of us will go by the dice.
Okay, Zoltana, you find yourself in the section that you indicated. First of all, I'm going to get you to do a perception check.
Okay, let me do that.
As long as it doesn't suck, you're going to be okay.
Well, now otherwise, you fucked
this will just
me,
increase
v,
your time
because you said that, and now I got a 3 on my. And it's all your fault for saying what for mentioning it sucking. It's all.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So on a 3, it takes you a significant amount of time to find the book that Benbe was talking about. You do, however, find it. It takes you some time. There are a lot of books here and there are a lot of shelves. So it takes you some time to find it. When you do find it, however, flicking through it, thankfully, it is in common. So it's very fairly easy for you to read. And you kind of like look at the contents list and like with kind of a little bit of jiggery pokery, like Calamorn is kind of pointing you in a direction and trying to help. Like, you can hear his voice in the back of your head. And you find in the contents a section on safely removing a sentience from a Valkyrie sword. I need you to roll an investigation check for me.
Okay.
With advantage because Calamorn is helping you.
So that's a 13. Wow, all my first rolls are real bad today.
That's okay. It's not the end of the world. All right, let me scroll down to what I have.
It's literally the end of the world, V. Quite literally.
Oh, yeah, I should stop saying that in this podcast. damn, you're right. It's basically right towards what, like, you have been reading this book over and over, and Calamorn is trying to help, but he's not being all that helpful. But eventually you wade through this, like, what feels like fucking gibberish of, like, you could do this or do this, and there's that, and then there's this place, but it's guarded, or it may not be guarded, we don't really know, we haven't really been there. But you break down the gist to be this. There is a spell which is guarded in Cicero, which will separate a sentience from a sword. Once you separate the sentience, however, it will just float off into Cicero or into Bellum or into the Stalking, if that's what they choose. To give it back to its body, you have to capture this. And you have to capture it in a blessed vase. It doesn't give you a name, though, but it will hold the spirit. Then you require the blood of an ancestor of the sentience, if it was originally a person. And then you need that blood to be blessed by a god or a goddess or a deity. And then they'll be returned to their body.
Hold on, I'm writing all this down for myself. So the first thing I need is I need a holy, I need a blessed vase.
Yep.
How do I get it out again? I don't know why, but like all that I got so blessed vase.
Yeah, it's okay. Blood of an you need a blessed vase.
There's a spell in Cicero.
Blood of an ancestor. You need a spell which is kept in Cicero, which will basically separate the sentience from the sword.
And then you need
a god or a goddess or a deity to bless the blood with the spirit, and then boom, Calamorn has his body.
Magical butterfly net, catch the ghost.
You say that, but you're kind of not really all that wrong.
it's good. I love it, though.
It's going to be like in Animal Crossing when you talk to the ghost and then you have to go catch all the pieces of its spirit. Because you scare it.
Casey, I will send the gist to you in a Discord message.
Thank you. I wrote it in my notes, though, also. Also, I think I'm going to be pretty safe on this one because I know at least two goddesses. So.
You do.
One might say yourself counts as one.
But, yeah.
Does it?
I was counting myself.
Does it?
Does it? Does it?
I don't know. Maybe we already fucked over magic item.
Because also Grumsh. I forgot. Okay, so technically three, including myself.
You know at least one goddess, you know at least one god, and you do know the deity of death themselves. So yeah, you're probably deity fine on the old god blessing department.
Yeah, that's right. And then I know what's his face, who's like, who was naked all the time and is now a god.
Titus.
Yeah.
Yep. So you know a fair amount of people. You're pretty tight with the deities of this world.
I got it. I got a godly crew. I got a godly crew following.
So, yeah, I've just sent you the message in Discord, so it has all the information in it. This, I'm going to say, is going to take you, like, well past lunch, because you guys got here about that time, early afternoon, like for you, Zoltana, because of the low rolls, it took you a very long time. So you're going to be like way past dinner, like, you know, 8-9-ish sort of thing at night. It's taken you a while to find this information and actually break it down into something usable. So that's where you at. All right. Who is next, having used the dice system?
That would be Squash.
Okay, Squash. You make your way to the back of the library. Can I have you roll a perception check?
Yes, you may.
I don't even know why I'm asking you. Like, you're going to pass this instantly.
Boop. That would be a 23.
Of course it is. You find the book, The Treatise, The Theories of Shielding. A lot of what is written in this book is about what avatars do and what they do for this world. Particularly in this world. It talks about the idea that deities and creatures with a lot of power upset the delicate balance that this existence is, that their unmitigated presence in the physical, the Bellum or Stalking or Cicero would crack the foundations. And from what you've heard of the others, when a spectre came through from a plane they shouldn't have been, the world started burning. This tracks with what you know. Avatars take a small piece of the god, or celestial being, or sentinel, and basically insulate them. So their most powerful auras don't destroy what we have. The thing... Oh, in that case, now that you have the basics of what avatars are, they don't just have to be about gods. They don't just have to be our gods or our sentinels. They can be beings not of this existence. Now I'd like you to make an investigation check.
That was a 28.
So as you're kind of like flicking through and getting the idea of what an avatar does and what it is and what it does for our world, you also learn that the thing that you notice is that this book is clearly written by more than one person and has been added onto throughout the ages. The first starts off as very, very, very old common. Like, so it has like thou's and wilt thou for and all that good jazz. As it kind of gets towards the end of the book and more things have been added, the style of writing changes. And as you kind of figure out what that is, you flick to the front and you see a list of names, authors. You notice Bram Grimlock as one of the first authors. You see a bunch of other names that mean nothing to you. But at the very bottom, you notice Emile Scott's name and Demetria's. As you flick through very quickly to the section that they have added, it talks about what a mortal avatar is. It tells you on your 28 that a mortal avatar contains a piece of a god. It separates that link that the god has with their normal avatars, their shields. It literally burns a piece of the god away, places it within a mortal body. And this mortal body, this mortal avatar, allows a god, a sentinel, or whatever celestial being to leave our existence, which gods, even in their normal avatars, cannot do. It talks about the process of doing this. That to break or burn away a piece of a god requires soulfire. Only something that strong could burn through a piece of a god. But soulfire requires a component. It requires a soul. You had a couple of questions about it. I'm going to answer one of them.
You bastard.
Ask a question.
Fuck.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. Okay, before we move on, I just want to make one thing, ask one thing. Who was Demetrius again? Do we know?
You mean Demetria Bloodhorn? Demi's full name.
I heard Demetrius.
Oh.
There we go. All right. That would make a lot more sense. I guess the real question is, like, can you, after that somebody becomes a mortal avatar, can you decouple them from the god without killing them? You're very mean because I have four questions.
I'm going to be fair to you. It's not something that Demi or Emil or any of the others have considered something that they could survive.
Okay, I'm starting to feel Squash is stepping into some very deep ponds.
Like I will answer another question because the honest answer is they wouldn't have considered that, so that wouldn't be a thing in here.
Okay.
Like you can flick through it like that. There's nothing here.
Okay. How about, I think this is a good one. Like, how do you hide from a god?
Back in the past, people who make deals, like warlocks or priests or paladins even, contain a small aspect of their gods. They kind of act as that like mortal shield, but to a very, very small extent, because there's only a very, very small amount of the god. Warlocks, for example, would have a mark, and it would be a case of obliterating or hiding that mark, but this book doesn't go into detail how to do that. It's a thing that as you read through it, you realize you would need to learn more about warlocks.
Yeah.
This one kind of just glazes over it. This isn't the book to tell you about warlocks and how to hide from those marks.
Yeah. I think during this whole thing, Squash has two pieces of parchment out that he's been writing on. One of them, he has recreated Demi's letter from memory just to like make sure he's not missing anything, that he's not forgetting anything. And on the other one, he's been writing notes and notes about what he's been reading. And as soon as he feels like he's learned everything he can from this book, he's just going to slam it shut and start looking for Binbeer again.
Okay. All right. I'll come back to you in a minute then. All right. Next on the list. Who's next?
Next is Neil then.
I rolled a 12.
Okay, Ral. You and Aimer go and find books about the creation of the Lodge and the Fourfold in both Kino and Ascora and its relationship to Kesa. So, first of all, I'd like you to roll a perception check with advantage because Aimer is helping you.
Oh, not great. 15.
On a 15, it still takes you a little while to find this book. Not like the world's worst amount of time. Oh, you're supposed to be at, oh, that was advantage of mine. I saw the green dot. It doesn't take you really long to find the book, but, you know, it takes a little bit of time. And as like Aimer's climbing up to the top shelf, she brings down a book and hands it to you. And it is about Kesa. It's literally just called Kesa. She has been mentioned throughout history in various places, described as having various forms. The theory in this kind of conspiracy book is that Kesa has many forms, one of the most prominent ones being that of a female dwarf, another of that of being a male drow, another of that of being a female goblin. Like, there are references to Kesa all over the place, singular name, and they assume that it is the same person. It talks about her involvement in the creation of the Fourfold, both here and on Discora, and on Kino. It talks about why she founded it. It talks about the relationship that she had with the objects that she was hiding for these mythical warriors who would come at the hour of need, but just needed to be assembled. It talks a lot about that. I'd like you to roll an investigation check, and then you can ask whatever questions you have.
18. That's not a bad...
Do it with advantage because you have Aimer helping.
Well, it's... that's not bad though because
I
have
know.
A plus
you
zero
You make it
an app
20, in which case I'll give you everything.
10. Okay, I have a plus zero to this. So 18 was like pretty good. I was happy with that.
That's totally fine. What questions do you have about Kesa? I will allow you to.
I want to know... I want to keep track of these other forms while I'm reading and kind of figure out where exactly she's been, or they have been, I guess, with the mini forms, primarily.
okay.
And see if there's like one that's like odd that sticks out that might be like indication of a place for a test, anything regarding the tests, basically.
If your question is revolved more around that, like, where is she most frequently seen? What is the odd one out? Like,
right,
where
I'm
might there
for
be a trial?
The ones that are kind of like
the ones that stands out. In that
made
case,
me say why the most, I guess. You know, because okay, she's here. I know why she's here. Kino. Okay, I can probably figure out why she's in Kino. Is there anyone that's like,
All right, let me just, I need to open up one of the documents in like the archives so I can tell you where this would be.
Thank you for actually researching our end goal, Neil, while the rest of us are just dilly-dallying with our backstories.
Excuse me, I am, but Arch is also researching our end goal.
Yeah.
I know. Uh-huh. It's just we front-loaded us two who are like meandering around doing our silly shit. Meanwhile, the two guys try to save the world.
Hey, look, Callan Morn is like an integral part of this team, okay?
I've
got this dude running around the vault looking for a dumb dragon book for me. So, I mean.
Listen, once I've gotten Kalanworn into a non-magic sword body, then we're gonna have five beautiful people babies on this team. No,
until Gref
I'm
comes
gay
out of nowhere and tries to fucking murder
Jesus
him.
Of no babies. I'm gay, man. I don't want to have babies.
You can
with my
adopt
sword.
Beautiful babies.
I don't want to have sword. I don't want to have babies with my sword. I want to. If I'm gonna adopt babies, it's gonna be with my goddess wife.
And well, who's going to take care of them once you ascend?
When, like, you know, they're going to have, like, loads of people that look up to them and care about them because they're goddesses and they're going to have a bunch of people following them.
They just leave all the babies with Kalanworn. He just turns into, like a Mr. Nanny kind of thing.
Mr. Mom, is it? What it is?
Man, when Kalanworn's outside of the sword, I'm going to be...
So, you're gonna need a new sword.
I'm gonna need a new sword, but also it's just gonna be really sad because I won't have him with me constantly. It's like Zoltana's gonna get like separation anxiety.
Oh. Okay. Raoul, as you are looking through it, the thing that really stands out to you actually is the fact that, you know, Kesa has like these many forms, but they never seem to repeat, except in one case. There is talk of Kesa having two different goblin forms. One of that of a female and one of that of a male. And it's the male one that stands out to you because there's very little information about it. Like, the goblin has been seen in various places, has been part of the fourfold. But there has been that odd change where somebody noticed that Kesa had changed. And they seem to be heading into the wastes of Tisseramu.
Okay, I have a strange place now. Good. I have something else to look for. What else? Two questions.
Yeah,
I feel
one
like
more.
That was pretty informative for the first one. not bad. Could have gone worse for me.
I may give you a little less on the next one, but I was like, damn it, I need to find it out and find out what it was called or how to pronounce the bloody thing.
I think Raoul is personally curious as to why she kept up with the fourfold. Because she mentioned that they didn't see this coming because they were admittedly not paying a lot of attention. So why was the fourfold something that she was coming back to? Is the fourfold something that she has lost faith in or something? Or is something going on with the fourfold at some point that has made her stop caring about it as much, perhaps?
So Case's involvement with the fourfold on Discora has been that originally she started the lodge. Mm-hmm. The lodge was the thing that protected, basically grew with the idea that people should be trained. People should, you know, protect a thing. And it ended up becoming, I guess, commercialized, and she wasn't into that bullshit. So then she formed the fourfold, and that's dual purpose was to protect the thing that would bring one of the, or both of the great things back. And she was very involved with it in the beginning, like setting it up, make sure things ran properly. But as time went on, she turned up less and less. It wasn't because she didn't care, it was more that she seemed preoccupied with something else. Either she had done the task of setting it up and she was just checking in from time to time, the hard work having been done. That's kind of the feeling that most people get, because she's always, whenever she has been mentioned in either of the fourfolds, it has been like, she cares. She's very interested in the people, like the three masters, the mix, the martial, the magic. She's always very interested in who they are, who is running the place in her absence. She's interested in that, but it's almost as if it's become more of a hobby than, like, a vocation, I guess. And with you knowing that she's a sentinel, it kind of goes hand in hand with the strange way that time works for them. Yeah, I guess that's kind of more what is going on there.
Okay,
then. That means it's Laffian.
Hi.
Hi. Take a perception check, please. With advantage, because you have Kaithia helping.
Sure. You said perception?
Yes, please.
Okie doke. Advantage. Perception. 21.
You find the book pretty easy. I mean, it was in a display case of only three books.
Out of curiosity, what are the other two books?
The other two, so one of the books is kind of about sentinels and the creation of the world. The other ones, one of them holds like myths about powerful objects, and one of them is written in a language that you don't immediately understand without using your psychic read everything abilities. And that talks more about forbidden magics.
Mm.
Okay, mm. Just gonna save that for later.
Hmm.
All right,
that's, Rawl, that's Rawl's book now.
Nope, you're no. Uh-uh. Break your fucking fingers.
That's not a book for you, my friend.
Balance, right. Look at this.
We grab the book.
Okay. Rawl an investigation.
Okay. Advantage.
Yeah, because Kythia is also looking through.
28.
You can ask 4 questions.
4 questions. Okay.
Like, you have a stupidly high roll there, and I had stuff prepared for Zoltana and for Squash. You two, not so much, so go right ahead.
Okay.
What would you like to know?
Where are the trials?
That's not written in here.
Fuck.
It tells you about where, how the Sentinels created the world, that there are 5 planes of existence, that there is Cicero and Bellum, that there is the physical and the stalking, that there is the sentinel plane. It tells you about those 5. It gives you a little history on both. It tells you that the stalking plane was created first, that there were people who lived there, that sentient creatures were made there, but things went wrong. They turned on themselves, became darker creatures. And rather than destroying them, the sentinels built around them. They gave them Cicero and Bellum, the physical plane. Then a plane to hold all of this together. It tells you that the Sentinels don't really interact on the planes, with one exception. She placed herself upon the physical plane when it was first created, and that's where Geata came from. Things there are exceptionally magical.
Is there any attention to detail on Geata in particular locations?
Locations in Geata.
Places that, like, maybe there's a little bit too much attention to detail where it's like, maybe that's where the trial would be. I'm very bad at phrasing things, but do you pick up what I'm putting down?
I kind of, yeah, like, you want a bit more specifics.
By the wolf-headed rock, east of the...
It talks about very... It talks about the very north of the world. Like, if you take one step forward, you're heading south. If you take one step back, you're heading south. The very northern point of this world is where the Sentinel touched the plane. And it is here that apparently there may be a hole, that there is a way to see into all of existences, that there is into all of our existence, that there is a whirlpool of something there that allows you to see beyond the physical of what you have, more into actually the workings, the threads, the points, the pixels, the numbers of how this world works.
Hmm. Sorry, trying to process all that. I feel like I'm under the... I've been going under the wrong assumption that these would be like some scattered thing that might be across Geata, but what if it's just a case of we all just have to go to this vortex and then we all undergo individual trials at the same time there?
Each of you has to undergo an individual trial to complete your part of being the Sentinel, yes.
Yeah, but it can't all be at the same location.
You know,
like,
the
there
trial's
wasn't any...
kind of like Spider-Man spider bite. We have to go undergo the discomfort to make us into great superheroes. We have to
You aren't all going to be by like fucking radioactive versions of the creatures you're going to turn into, Neil. Like, I'm ruling that out already.
I don't know. Laffian's going to turn to Kythia. Do you have any ideas on what else may pertain in here? I'm kind of drawing a blank.
Well, if you're all going to become a Sentinel, perhaps there's something in here about, I don't know, maybe how to break one apart or how that works, what exactly a sentinel does here. Like, we know there are four here, but what if there were others? What if there's any information on, like, another sentinel being created, maybe we can find something about them.
See, I like that. You're very smart. Very good job.
Pat. She smiles and, like... she smiles.
You say
and, like,
pat. It's
looks
more
a
like
little embarrassed.
Yeah.
Little kisses.
Little kisses.
Yeah, let's go with that then. Those are two solid ideas.
Okay, so it talks about breaking apart a sentinel, and it talks about that a sentinel itself is very powerful. Like, their words create things. But it's kind of that, you know, like the asshole DM wish thing where you have to phrase things perfectly for them to work, which is why our reality doesn't work perfectly. It's why there are contradictions. It's why, you know, the stupid-ass questions that Squash asked of Kesa, that's why those sort of things exist. It's why magic comes at a cost. They can't create things perfectly. So a sentinel has a lot of powers, but they are finicky. You know, great power, great responsibility, all that good jazz. It's all the bureaucratic crap. So they have a lot of power. It talks about... This particular book talks about if you were to break apart a sentinel, being that there are four of them, it's not the end of the world if you lost one. If something came in and blew one apart, life would suck, but it wouldn't end the world. Doing that to two or more would spell disaster for the creation of the world as it is, because it's not perfect. Nothing is. So... It talks about that it is possible, but it requires a lot of energy. It requires basically the world itself turning in on a sentinel and blowing it to pieces. It's that much energy. However, it does talk about a fifth sentinel. It talks about back in the past that there were brothers and sisters, that they created this world, but one of them decided to leave. Like, after the creatures in the stalking, after those people turned in on themselves and became something else, the fifth sentinel left, went out into where it is they decided to go. They had a name there. It talked about how they escaped, about how they broke themselves down enough that they could leave. It talks about a fifth sentinel, and the fifth sentinel's name is Baura.
All right, hold on a second. I'm going to need that in writing.
It's B, A with an apostrophe, R, and an A. Baura.
My lawyers will be hearing of this.
I'm so confused. I don't understand what is happening right now.
There is, out of character, out of world, there is a reason why all the sentinels are named as they are. I mean, you haven't come across the other names. I mean, you could look them up now if you wanted to. But they have names for a reason. And I, yes, Aethor, yes, it's named after your sister.
You're a giant weirdo.
Is this some...
You refuse to answer my questions when I probe you on the thing, so...
More info on Fifth Sentinel?
The Fifth Sentinel found a way of breaking herself down. She asked her brothers and her sisters to each call her by her real name. Like, not the name that's written down, but like that core, like real name, like what she actually is in the language of them. And every time they said it, they broke a piece of her down. And that allowed her to escape. So there is a theory that by using something's true name, you have power over it. And by her brothers and sisters using her name, they managed to break her down so that she could escape the re-existence that they had created.
And then what?
And then she left.
That's it?
Where?
Mm-hmm.
Where did she escape from?
Here.
She escaped here? From the existence that the five sentinels had created. When uh-huh. they first created the stalking. And when they broke her down with their words, she left. And now it's just the four of them. Kythia says, that could be how we get you all out of being a sentinel. We don't know how long it'll last. And we might need to break you free if something happens.
I mean, I would hope that the sentinels wouldn't keep us as sentinels once this is all done.
You said that Kesa said she didn't know how long it would last anyway.
Right.
But if, for whatever reason, the Blissful Eclipse focuses you because you're a sentinel, I'd rather be able to break you out of that. Like, I don't want to lose you or the others. I don't want to lose them either, but in case we have to, break in case of emergency.
In case of absolute worst case scenario emergency.
It's going to be real great when everyone else is laughing and we just keep saying balance and it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
She knows his name, okay? It's whether anyone would know Squash's real
that's
name.
My name, but that's not true. That's not like true name. Maybe I'm not entirely sure. Like, is my name my true name? Is that, would that work? Say my name. Say my name and tell me to do something.
Lathia and Dathra, dear, will you please close that book and kiss me?
Fine, but not because you told me to.
Gross.
Yeah, but now we can't prove that it wasn't. Unanswered, unresolved questions.
Okay.
To be clear, doing it not because you told me to, because I want to.
You say that, but...
Sure. Okay. So, a few hours have passed. Benbe has bought, like, food and refreshments. And you all kind of gravitate back towards, like, that center table where Benbe was speaking to you all. What do you all want to do?
Did he find anything on dragons?
He comes back and he says, there was something about curing dragons, but it's a very difficult and long to cast spell. It requires potions and powerful mage or warlock or sorcerer, wizard. But it is possible. And they hand you over a note which has a recipe for a potion.
Ra seems excited and puts away the note. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I need a potion and someone to make a spell?
Yes.
Okay.
What are the rest of y'all up to?
I'm assuming that Squash already asked Benbeer about a book about warlocks, or more specifically about the marks that warlocks get from their chosen deity. And he's already on that book.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Roll an investigation check.
All right. Well, better start fucking brainstorming because I rolled a 23.
Ha, lowest roll. Screw up. It tells you that warlock marks vary from person to person and deity to deity. Sometimes they can manifest as physical runes or markings. Sometimes they are just subtle changes in behavior. Sometimes, you know, you don't notice anything at all. But there is always a mark on the soul itself, which means when it becomes their time, their deity, whoever has marked their soul, decides whether they are Cicero or Bellum or whether they are forced back into life. Becomes their choice at that point. There is mention in the book about a dagger. It mentions that a mark can be burnt away. Just the mere touch of soul fire can do it. But it's a very dangerous thing to undergo. If you decide to try and cast soul fire in such a way to only burn that tiny bit of your soul, you are taking a 1 in 20 chance. However, there is a dagger. There is a dagger called Guthmadra's dagger. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. Guthmadra. Yeah, that's how I pronounced it last time. But this dagger is in Bellum, and it does exactly the right amount without killing. But this charge is one in every 100 years, if not fewer, and has just as much chance of killing them as it does for saving them.
And if you die from soul fire, you gone.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's obliteration, death, or life. That is the choices of removing a warlock mark.
But all are better than like a 1 in 20 chance.
Yeah. How about you don't set yourself on fire with soul fire? Yeah.
It still broadens that chance of good things or neutral things.
You go from a 5% chance to a 33% chance.
If you hadn't picked up, it's the same dagger that your parents mentioned.
Yeah, Galdrabal dagger.
Yeah. I need to know more about that dagger, and I need to know more about Soulfire, apparently.
Hey, there's a book on really powerful magic things in that thing over there.
Do you mean the forbidden magic book that is in the language I don't understand?
Hey, Balance, where do you get fire times 10?
No.
Needless fire thing.
From your mate, Raul. That's where you get fire times 10 from, your mate.
As oh, Squash, burn. As you kind of stalk back to the table where everyone else is congregating, you'll notice that Athorin and Monarch and Lisbeth are making their way back to this area as well.
Before I head back, I actually want to just see if I can find sort of like a book on Kellenmorn's adventures. Because he was like a big adventurer, right? There's got to be some kind of writings about his
life.
The
funny thing is the book exists.
Yes, you can.
It already exists.
The book exists. You go to the book, but the title, like the index cards that tell you where it is, the book has been taken out.
Oh. Sultana.
The book has been removed from the library.
Sultana's like shaking her head and she's like, damn it.
I'm so sorry. The one book you really wanted.
Hey, who took the book? I've heard the some Goliath asshole. It's very rude about it.
Yeah.
Actually, no, because he wasn't even there for that.
Nope.
It was the drow lady.
Nope. It was Gref. Yeah, it's the drow lady.
If you don't think that the index card sass was an asshole about it, you underestimate how mean that drow lady was. How petty.
All right. Well, that's
didn't even respect my books.
Sorry.
That's fine. That's fine. Zoltana's actually happy, kind of happy it's taken out because she's like, oh, somebody wanted to read about Hey Cal, somebody took out your book. So they took out the book about you. They want to know about you. How freaking cool is that?
Go ahead. Make ethics do work.
Callum Morn. No, I'm not making him do work for like 3 lines. Rethix indicates that they are interested. Wait. And they would like to meet this Rethix? Person. Sorry, Callan Morn indicates that he is interested in meeting the person that wanted to know all about him.
The feeling's so mutual, I'm sure.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Can I find a book for some light reading while eating dinner?
There are many copies of Threads here.
No, not that light reading. Leffy wants to find a book on true names.
The original master copy of Threats. Edition 1.
Now he's curious about that.
Handwritten.
With a signed book plate in it.
Signed book plate.
A signed book plate.
It's been translated so many times that we can't even be sure that the modern Threads is...
It's not even the Threads anymore. It's
I'm
just strands.
I'm not saying... that it doesn't exist in this library. I'm not saying that it does. Anyway, as you all congregate back at the table, Monarch and Lisbeth and Athorin come out, and Lisbeth and Marnak look like they're ready for whatever is coming ahead. And Thorin like seems to have like steadied his nerve a little bit. He doesn't seem to be letting them wander too far away from him. And Marnak looks at the four of you as you kind of like wander back, or as you're sitting down reading or eating a light snack, whatever. He says, "We three are going to go into the vaults and prepare ourselves for what I need to do. I don't know how long we'll be down there. Did you find what you were looking for?"
Yes and no.
Most of it. Some of it. Not really.
I feel like that has probably been the case. We are dealing with some wild unknowns here. Perhaps new things, perhaps so old they're not written down. We shall see.
Just do us all a good favor luck. And don't die while you're down there. Kind of took a lot of work to get you back.
not going to let that happen.
I won't let them die either. I think they are trying to do good things.
Laughing has like a dumbfounded face and is staring at Thorin. I'm happy to hear you say it.
So what do we do while we wait? Do you need us to go with you?
You don't need to wait for us. We are probably going to be some time, and from the sounds of it, you have your own things to get on with.
We don't have a ride back. Our wizard left us.
Lisbeth smiles and she says,
I can send you back to Folsom. No problem.
Okay. Do you want to do that now, or should we wait till you come back, or?
We are going to be gone for some time.
Okay.
Do not wait for us. Do not rely on us.
Are you going to be gone for a week? Rog gives a pointed look at Thorin, like, you can't be gone for a week because Wurunra doesn't have a week.
I don't know. We don't know how long we are gone for, but as...
How do we get to Wurunra then?
I have an idea.
You were saying something, Arch?
I have an idea. No, I just had a light bulb moment. I had a...
Okay.
If it helps, I can send you there. I mean, if that's what you want.
And she looks at Thorin.
I can send you right there to Demerius. You would have to get back yourself, though. Hopefully someone will be able to. Send you back, I mean.
Don't worry. Someone would send them back.
I have a thought about that, actually. This partially relies on your answer to my question, though, Thorin. Does Demerius have access to larger vessels, seafaring vessels?
We do, but not many.
Okay. I'm having a thought here. Because from what I'm reading, it sounds like we're going to have to go to Geatar. If that's the case, Demerius is already further north. So it would save us a lot of time, actually, if we were to go to Demerius, help you, looking at all three of the Dragonborn, locking eyes with each. And then once that's taken care of, Rall, you'll be good. You should hopefully, I would hope, be cured some way or another.
No, I won't.
And then we go to Geata.
No, I have the thing. Rall gets the recipe out. No, I just need a wizard or a warlock or someone and an alchemist, and we can help Wurunra.
Show me the list. If all the things are in Demerius, we have wizards and alchemists that could help you out.
Yeah, Rawl hands him the list.
He kind of like skims over it and he says,
We do not have this or this. These are... How do I phrase things? Many of these things just do not grow on Demerius.
And he hands the thing back to Rell.
What about the wizard or warlock?
We have wizards and warlocks. They would be strong enough to cast this spell of yours.
Okay. And then they can maybe help us get to where we need to go, but I won't be cured. Not until we do the thing with the Kesa.
Aima looks uncomfortable. Like she has plans, but she looks uncomfortable.
So then all we're missing, then we need these ingredients, and then we should be able to just go to Daemarius, take care of that business. And with any luck, you'll be able to arrange passage for us to Gyatta?
Depending on how long it takes here. If I am still here with these two, then you are on your own. If we are done quickly, then I can arrange passage for you.
If we go with you all, would that make things quicker?
I don't know.
And he looks at the other two, and Lisbeth shakes her head and says,
No. You need to do your thing. We have to do ours. We don't know how long this will take, and if it takes weeks, you can't not be on your quest. Athorin, you can't come.
That is not happening. I am going.
Are there rooms in Daemarius that we could possibly teleport to? Something to make our trip there quicker?
He nods.
Yes.
Can we have those?
Make a persuasion roll.
No, not me.
You don't want me to do it, bud.
You're at least the same race as him.
That doesn't help me.
Wow, but he hates Ralph.
That doesn't help me. I'm the neglect. I'm not neglect. What's the word? I'm the rejected of my race, bud.
That was only an 8.
He's the sick one. Does anyone want to help Squash out?
Does Aima want to help Squash?
Balance, baby. Can you try to convince this motherfucker?
I've been trying this entire time. I've been trying to say that we need to go there. So yes, if V allows it, I don't know.
Yeah, all of that.
I've been arguing. I've been trying to get us there, man.
You've been trying to persuade him with logic. I'm putting it like that.
Knowledge. Am I rolling or is he?
Please don't make me. It's I've got plus team. 0.
Yeah. Arch, you want to roll?
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
26.
Thank you. Oh, Jesus, you rolled a 19?
Yeah, he has a lot in persuasion. Athorin looks at all of you and he locks eyes with Rael. And then he looks at Aima and finally to Lathian.
I will draw this rune for you, but as soon as it is used, you must destroy it.
Fine by me.
We just need to get there.
Okay.
He reaches for a scroll, a parchment, and he draws a very... It's actually kind of a very basic rune, a very, very basic teleport pattern. It's not overly complicated. It's functional and it does the job. And he leaves it on the table and he says,
"You must swear to me that you will destroy it."
You have my word.
What, do you think we can't get to and from here from boats? If I needed to get to or from Daemarius, I would not need your rune.
You and Aima both know the way back. Good luck.
And he turns to walk away, then he stops and he goes back over to Aima and he puts something in her hand and says,
"Look after this. I never gave you a lot. But look after this."
And he makes his way kind of towards the back of the library, kind of in that same area that Squash was.
Good luck.
Well, I guess good luck to all of you. You all. I mean, you're going to be fine. You don't need luck. Right?
So we're going to need to go back to Falsum, is what I'm hearing.
I need to get an alchemist.
Before that, really quick, where is Benbir?
Benbir is kind of like sitting at the end of the table, but you can ask him to leave. He understands that going on that he can't be a part of.
Not that. Benbir, would I be able to take out this book on names?
Yes, of course you can.
I will take this then. How would I return it in the future?
He smiles. When you are done with it, it will find its way back here.
Understood.
Do you have anything about the stalking plan? Or something spooky, but maybe not that spooky, because I don't know if I can read it if it's too spooky.
Well, but I've got some books if you're looking for some light reading. I found them in Pintle's room.
Spectre books?
I would like to read these too.
Are they scary?
No.
Whatever it is, it can't raise Ralph's blood pressure. It was not doing any good.
Maybe. Oh. So I think that two of them may raise his blood pressure. The third one, maybe not as much. But,
oh, no. I can't do the scary. Not too scary. I just want information of the stalking and how magic works there, maybe.
I can see upon you that you have a mark belonging to the deity of death. You will find out very quickly how things work over there.
Quickly in relation to like time here or there, because I don't want to, like, quickly over here is kind of a long time over there, and I kind of want to, I can figure things out now that can help me.
He like, takes a couple of steps away and heads back to, like, that relief.
How long does it take to put something in the stalking flame? Is it, like, two actions?
It took a few minutes, dude. Like, let's be honest. Okay. You are going to fuck me with this. I know this.
Not really. A couple actions will take a couple turns. That makes it pretty useless in combat to try to do something like that.
Yes, very like true.
A handful of seconds, 30 seconds or so. I think that casting time for big stuff should be a thing in D&D. It makes one person useless, and it makes them have to think hard about what they do. It's a cool mechanic. But
yes,
regardless,
it is. And it's going to scream you. Kinda,
but in any sense.
He walks over to like one of the bookshelves in the kind of more religion-y area, and he brings out like a book called Disciple of Death. It's a fairly thin book. It's about specters.
Okay. That looks fun.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
You can take this if you wish.
Okay. I'll get this back here somehow. I'll be around.
Yes.
However it works.
Anybody else have questions?
For books that they want to take out?
Yep.
Yeah. I need a book about a knife called Galtramother's Dagger, or more specifically, a book about Soulfire. The knife seems to be related to it.
Soulfire is a forbidden magic. It is protected far below in the vaults. You will not be able to take a book like that out of this library.
Ah.
But there are people in this world that knows how it operates.
Like?
That may be a question for Emil.
Yeah, the person who wrote one of the books.
He's a weirdo.
He is a weirdo. Don't be mean to Emil. He's my friend, damn it.
Assuming the book, the dagger that you're talking about is of great magical power, there was another book in that case over there.
Yeah.
I was kind of curious to look at it myself if you wanted to take that one out.
Sure. If it might help me find this thing, it might help.
Benbir, would it?
If you are looking for the dagger specifically, the best that this book will tell you is where it was. It has been kept on Belem for many, many millennia and has not been removed. It will not say it is in the house of Steve.
Raul looks at Ama.
It will just say that it was on Belem. That is where it has been traditionally kept.
Ama, do you know of any fancy daggers on Belem?
Let us have a look.
The one person who's been there.
True.
For a long time.
True.
Ama, do you have another dagger that you found somewhere?
In our time.
Did you steal another dagger?
I don't want to talk to you about... I'm not talking to you about my dagger.
I want to stab with this one.
Sulfire
and
dagger.
And this one. And then Sulfire, this one.
And then this one. And then this one. I've collected all the powerful daggers to collect.
Ama got 24, apparently.
24, shit.
Ama knows things.
It doesn't surprise Raul that Ama knows things about these things. Of course she knows things about the things.
I did hear, I was obviously looking for weapons to help me fight better. I did hear about it. It is guarded by, oh shit, what are they called?
Is it the fire thingy it that we fought?
No, Malakabel, no. It is protected by a race of people called Tinguran. T-I-N-G-U-R-A-N. And thank you, Chaos Brain, for that name.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thought you said Tinguran, and I was going to be like, wait a minute.
Tinguran.
Gurren Lagann? No, we're never going to win.
Tinguran.
That's good. Okay.
They tended to keep to themselves. They never mixed with the rest of the fighters. I don't know how to contact them or get in anything like that. I don't want to go back there. I'm sorry. I won't.
No.
Well, hugs, Ama. You don't have
to. More than enough.
Thank you.
Then I guess we're leaving, and Squash seems to be like slightly panicking because he doesn't have a book to take with him, and he feels like there's so many questions he doesn't have answered. Dragon leaf sap. Anything about that? I swear to Christ if you say the vault. I swear to Sultana if you say the vault.
If I said an underground bunker.
Oh, come on!
Protected by a strong door.
Squash, if you want a book, grab one of the books from inside the case there, please. They look so interesting. Gathia, you two, go grab one of the books from the... They looked cool. I'm curious what's in them. I could live here.
I know, and so could I.
Ama, get the book. What do you want to know?
Between Ama and Kythea, they take the other two books in the case.
That has to be infuriating. You have this nice library and people just zoom towards the case books. It's like, I put them there because they're unique and expensive and delicate.
And I like them.
Then you should have put them in the vault.
Sucker. Squash doesn't have a book. Squash doesn't have a book. How did that happen?
Find something on... What about like a map of Belem?
Ooh.
Is that what you're going to ask for?
You're looking for an atlas. An atlas of the plains.
An atlas of existence.
I found this yellow pages. Who are you looking Thompson for?
So, that guards Squash, that thing?
I'm looking for a plumber. Do you know any good electricians, Athel?
No, none.
Maybe we can buy an ad.
So I need soul fire, I need magic, I need... I'm taking the fucking Avatar book. The one I already semi-read through.
Okay, you can take that.
Yeah.
Like the theories of shielding.
Yeah, that one. The theories of shielding.
There may be more in that book than you originally intended. So yeah, yes, yeah. You definitely take the book.
That's what I'm assuming.
Sultana.
Yo.
Anything you want to steal from the library while everyone is plundering the resources?
We're not stealing.
No, I mean, why would I do that? That's stupid.
Well, we're not stealing. We're borrowing.
No, temporarily borrowing, yeah.
With permission.
I think you'd like to check out the library.
Also, I hear that management's super dead, so like...
I will still find you for the ages if you destroy those books.
I would never do anything.
And he
just
like this mean face and then he laughs.
I think that I genuinely can't think of anything that Zoltana would want to take out of the library outside of that book.
Guidebook for goddesses?
Is
Deities
there like,
for dummies?
Is there like one of those like like American Girl doll books on how on your body, your goddess?
Oh Lord!
Eat, pray, love.
Yeah.
You're like there would be those sorts of books here too. Like there is also fiction here. I mean, Threads is here, and the others are also here.
The Stalking Plane book is just going to be like a strategy guide for the game Go Fish. This is what you need. Trust me.
Well, Neil, now you've said it. Good job, man.
No.
your goof, your problem. I guess, yes, there would be books on, like, how to not exactly ascend to godhood, but, like, that introverted, like, thinking. Alternatively, you might want a book on speechcraft, so it's easier for you to convert followers.
Ooh. Yeah, I'll take that. A book on how to be a good speaks.
How to be good speaks. Okay. Let's come up with a name for this author. Let me dig into the world.
My name's Zoltana and I don't speak so good.
Hello, Zoltana.
By the time you finish this book, you will be a master speech crafter. Okay, there is a book on... there is a book on how to make a good speech by Belmain Author, which comes from Veritas. Thank you.
I'll take that.
And it literally teaches you how to construct like speeches, how to make people do what you want based on those speeches, or how to get people to follow you, or how to do reverse psych on people. This book is a gold mine of how to do speeches. Over the time as you read it, we'll up like some of your like persuasion skill and your like that kind of stuff.
So can I borrow that
just
when you're
note
done?
That you have it. No, it's one of those. She took the book, not you. You don't need any more to your speech, my friend.
Don't I? I only have a 15 charisma.
Yep, no way.
I need to be at 20.
Okay. With that, Lisbeth kind of looks at you all and with kind of like a very deep look of concentration, you see her eyes go purple and you see Monarch's eyes go purple as they send the six of you back to Falsum, leaving behind Athorin, Monarch, Lisbeth, and Common.
I was going to ask, is Common coming with us?
Common never came back into the library.
What?
Oh, we would for sure
Common
just
never
wait
came
for
into
Common.
The library.
We can't leave Common.
No, V, hold on.
Raw wouldn't let them
okay.
leave.
Okay.
Common's writing down the
as
thing
she
that
goes,
Raw
as she goes
to
cast, you're like, wait, we've had hours. Where is Common? As you kind of like go back to the entrance, like you pull open one of the doors, you see Common lying unconscious at the bottom of the obelisk.
And that's where we're going to leave
off.
I'm
going to stop there. Yeah, that's where we'll leave off. Like, that's your... on a con save of 22, that's where we'll leave off. You're totally fine.
Hi, everyone. Ral here. Been doing some reading and some learning, and I think we're going to figure things out. I would like to thank patron Shosoro for your support. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to Chaos Brain Kathy for the name Tinguran, and also to Veritas for the name Belmain Orthar. If you would like to submit a name to the pool that we pick those names from, you can also become a patron. If you go to patreon.com/tldpod, you will find a bunch of tiers, and there has been some very hard work to get us ready for the new higher tiers we have for the t-shirt and the hoodie. We're very excited to finally get to share some of that. You can get exclusive merch, you can get exclusive early access to the Kino episodes, you can get exclusive access to the AMAs, you can get exclusive access to participate in the AMAs. And so you can come ask us questions. You can find the tier that works for you at patreon.com/tldpod. And thank you so very much to everyone who is already a patron. Your support is amazing. Anyways, here's an ad for a podcast called Tale of the Manticore. You should go check it out. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you are enjoying the second season so far. And we will see you all next time. Bye.
Are you looking for a D&D podcast with a dark side? Something more like Game of Thrones and less like Monty Python? Tale of the Manticore is part dark fantasy audio drama, part solo D&D RPG. There's no plot armor here. The dice make all the important decisions. Join me as I resurrect the excitement, wonder, and emotion of old-school D&D. Made for a mature audience, Tale of the Manticore is both a fiction and a game. It's the story where chaos rolls.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.